Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Questions Bar. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, proud producer of the show on Incandescent Radio, Incandescent TV. And we're also out on Spotify, Apple, and iHeartRadio with my co-host, the beautiful lifestylist, Alina Z. She is in LA. I'm here in DC. And today we have the privilege and honor of interviewing Alina's mom, who I have wanted to talk to since I met amazing Alina, who is from Russia, as of course her mom is too. So before we jump into our Q&A, I want to tell you a little bit about our magnificent guest. So born in 1954 in St. Petersburg, Russia, from the age of 9, Alina began to question the reality around her, from the Communist Party's monopoly on power to the lack of human rights and freedom of religion. Her curiosity and bold questions often shocked her teachers and her parents. In 1976, she married, and in 1980, Alina was born. Followed by 1979, she earned a master's degree in civil engineering. So we're going to hear about her background and history in this fabulous conversation. But pivotally, when Mikhail Gorbachev allowed private enterprise in 1988, she and her first husband opened a small company. They rented a basement, acquired some equipment, hired 15 employees, and started a family sewing business. A year later, they won a competition among nearly 2,000 companies and received a grant from a group of American businessmen. With that support, they renovated an abandoned military base and turned it into a sewing factory employing 350 people. I have chills. That is so cool. Thanks to successful marketing strategies, I'm certainly certain that they were yours, they expanded further, opening several addition sewing factories and other businesses. Alina returned to college to study business, as private enterprise had been outlawed in communist Russia and the concept of a free market was entirely new. In 1990, she earned a master's degree in marketing. And then Vladimir Putin came on the scene in 1995. He was the vice mayor of St. Petersburg and began consolidating power. Many citizens expressed nostalgia for his strong hand in leadership, and Alina recognized with fear that Russia might return to an authoritarian regime. So we're hearing what was then is happening now, right? So determined to live in freedom, she decided to leave the country. In 96, she left everything behind and moved to Maryland. At that time, Alina was studying and living in boarding school in the area, and in 1998, she remarried. The company she built in Russia was eventually destroyed, leaving her in a difficult financial situation. She found work at Michael's Arts and Crafts Store, earning $6.25 an hour. This is the power of resilience, right? We do what we need to do. During that period, she began painting. By 2000, she was making a living as an artist, creating portraits and murals for private homes and businesses. The entrepreneur never goes away, right? In 2003, after saving enough money to hire help for her ill mother, she returned to Russia for a visit. There, she discovered that part of her former business had survived and had been stolen. Since she still had shares in the company, she began a legal battle to reclaim them. After 3 years of intense court proceedings, she succeeded in selling her shares, a remarkable and risky achievement, given the rampant corruption in Russia at the time. What happened next? Well, you're going to hear more today on the Questions Bar. Wow, totally blown away by you, by both of you. I am so honored to know you. And I just want to say thank you to you both. Also, we want to give a big shout out to our co-host, our co-founder, Cynthia DeLorenzi, whose husband passed this week. So we want to send love to everyone and talk today about the power of resilience, the power of coming together and learning more about your amazing story. So take it away, Miss Alina.
I'm really happy that my mom is here because I feel like I told her earlier today, I feel like she's a little bit from the future in a way that she's lived through similar things that we are living through in America right now. And she knows what can happen if we act a certain way as a country. And she came here because Russia, you know, we came here in the 90s. And she'll share her story. But her story is like what not to do if you're living through this right now in America, what people did not do in Russia. She did, she tried, and she'll share that too. And she won her battles, but she couldn't win the battles for everybody. And it is each and every person's a responsibility to fight their own battles and also fight for the community. You cannot fight for the community as one person. So she's like from the future telling us, do not, and mom, go ahead and you can share. Our questions usually are the three questions. I don't know, should we do those questions or opposite?
All right, I'm going to back up just a second. Say
Yeah.
you two are from Russia, right? And have survived just amazing challenges. And that is the story that we will tell today. And Alina, yes, I definitely think we should ask the three questions that we ask everyone on the questions bar because it really helps tell the story. It frames it and it goes even deeper. So I'm going to throw it back to you. I just wanted to chime in so that our audience had some context.
Okay. So mom, just tell us about yourself a little bit in whatever way you want to share your story that is helpful to people because everybody right now is freaking out and everybody, I mean, okay, not everybody, but everybody smart is freaking out and everybody who's I don't want to name names, but some people are saying it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So just share your story and share us what makes you an expert? What gives you
Okay, so like couple times I heard in last 3 minutes the word surviving. Surviving is important. You have to survive. And my mother, Alina's grandmother, survived the siege of Leningrad, and I survived, all survived so far. But the most important thing is to do something. Just do whatever you can, just a little bit, because this is more important than survival. Because I mean, yes, but you shouldn't put safety and comfort in the first place right now. Just do something, whatever you can. Whatever you can. Say something, go somewhere, post something. I think this is the name of the game. And I came from Russia in 1996. And as everyone knows, or many people know, Russia was going on a, it was communist regime there till 1991. And then, actually, a little bit early in 1989, Gorbachev came to power, and he allowed, it was allowed to voice your opinion, to actually form some parties. There was some competition, and things started to go up. They allowed private enterprise. They allowed different opinions in politics, and it was democracy. Actually, free press was growing. Actually, it was a glimpse of democracy. But then it was noticeable that people actually crave going back. They want protective, strong hand, like they called it. And Putin offered it. First, on the level of my hometown, St. Petersburg, where he's from. So he took charge of the town first. He was vice mayor. He started from the secretary of the mayor, and in a couple of years became a vice mayor. And what he was doing in the city, it was kind of authoritarian rules. You know, he hated democracy. He hated business. He hated all new things coming to Russia. And people were okay with it. People actually, many people welcomed it. It's when I decided it's time to go. Because if most people don't see a problem with dictatorship coming on the horizon, then sure enough, it will come. Before I left, I said about fight to do something. I tried to run. I didn't try, I ran for the city hall. Twice I was very close to winning, but my hair lost to both Putin's candidates. And both times, one time they put actually a fake bomb under my door trying to discourage me from running further. But they didn't discourage, even though Alina was really terrified. She was a child, and it was not a good childhood experience. Anyway, when I lost, when I didn't win, I said, I cannot do anything anymore. I have to leave then. And I left, and left with nothing because I left my company behind. And it was lost completely, not completely, but it was lost in 2 years. My ex-husband and partner in business actually lost it all. And I came here. It was really, really tough and difficult, but I was happy because I thought I can breathe freely. Freedom was the name of the game. It's what I thought I'm coming for. And now when I see it is in jeopardy, and people don't really realize it, that puzzles me a lot. People have to wake up. Because I came, like Alina said, from the future. I came from the place which now is totally a dictatorship. It started slowly, but during like maybe first 15 years, Putin got as far as Trump probably got in a few months. And it's absolutely appalling how people can allow it and not understand, think that it wouldn't touch them. It will.
Well, that's the
And
thing
it
that people think that it won't touch them. They think, oh, it will only touch these people, but they don't remember the poem,
No.
right? Like first they came for this, second and then next for this.
Right, and
It's
I
the
kept
same.
silent then for those, yes, till they came for me. Yes, and they think if they play by the rules, nothing will happen. It will sooner or later. Or you have to live like a mouse under the floor, and it is not a pleasant, survival too. And yeah. So this is a story. Totally briefly, because when I came here, I had nothing. I started to paint actually, and started to paint for a living for a while. Then I went back and was able to find some piece of a company which survived. I fought for it with the corruption and everything. But then, this kind of miraculously, I would say, I was able because I was more, how to say, evolved in spirituality by then. Seeing things with what they are more, and was able to win, sell, and kind of, I wouldn't say sit pretty
Well, you are
because
pretty. You're so pretty. And you're
thank
sitting.
you, yes, but it feels like something is going, not something, I can exactly point what a lot going wrong in this
Yeah.
country.
You know what? I actually want to backtrack a little bit because it's going to slide into the question that Hope and I like to ask. Talk about a miracle that happened in your life, because a lot of people are praying for a miracle. And I find personally that a miracle is something that can happen, but you also need to do something. You know, you need to take it, you need to take action. So you mentioned that you got something by miracle. So just speak, share any miracle. Is it that particular one or something else that happened? I know many miracles that you've shared, but just something to give people hope that miracles happen to you, miracles happen to me, miracles happen to Hope, miracles happen to everybody. And so I encourage people to remember if they happened before, they can happen again. We just need to be in the same wavelengths to create them.
I would say what I learned from my many miracles, I can give some examples, but they all have in common one thing. You just do what you can, but you let go of the result. You kind of relaxed in the result and trust. Trust and re I mean trust in whatever higher power or yourself. Just relax and do what you can in the meantime, but don't be obsessed with the result. And the biggest miracle, I think the biggest miracle happened when I was really, really miserable here. On the top of everything, my mom got sick. I brought you here on a visa, but I couldn't ship you back because she has a stroke and dementia after that. So it was really not good, and I had to pay for everything for the medical. If they say medical for people who are not citizens, I don't know where they get it. I couldn't get any assistance for her, so I had to work day and night to provide, and I did. But my sister kind of walked away from the situation. She got married and they said, I want a nice life, I don't care, goodbye. And I was so angry at her, like really thinking about it obsessively, almost. Like blaming her in not sharing this with me in any possible way. Just watch mom. I couldn't leave her at home by herself. So watch her, I'll go work. Or you work and give me some money for her medical and I will watch her. But anything, no, she didn't want anything. And I was so upset and so angry that it was driving me crazy. In the meantime, I started to take painting classes. Whatever time I could find, I would take painting. Actually, I would recommend to everybody. to do something creative, whatever it is, singing, playing, painting, whatever. And there I started kind of what I understood later, meditate in a process of painting. It was an amazing experience when you just step back and see your hand moving and creating something on a canvas. So paper, portrait. I mean, I didn't know how it was happening. I couldn't take even credit for that because it was not me. The only what I could do, just get out of the way. So I got on some other energetic level, I believe. And at some point, I just was thinking, my sister is just a weak person. She cares about herself and selfish because she just is her best way of survival in this life, and she doesn't know any different. She just tries to protect herself, and she is not capable of understanding any different ways of living, of behaving. She wanted to survive herself. And I kind of forgave, not just forgave her, I felt compassionate to her. And I would say it was the biggest miracle, not just because it allowed me to relax, not to feel this way about her, get rid of negativity, but absolutely impossible coincidences start to happen in my life. Like some phone call or some information from nowhere, whether I was actually painting at some point, or some letter with address I was looking for and didn't know, or something like this. So I started to unravel what was happening, and I was able to return a piece of my business. Flew to Russia and fought this absolutely unbelievable corruption there and did what I could, but during what 3 years, it was Alina was begging me not to go. I said, no, I have to. I just want to respect myself if I don't. And I need money for my mom to take care of her, but also I need to use the opportunity. But all step of the way, I was meditating and I was trying to keep this, what they call positive attitude. But it's more than positive attitude, it's more like trusting. Trusting the high power that everything is going to be. No, after all, if our souls are immortal, then no, okay, whatever. You know, I don't want to lose my physical body. I kind of like it most of the times. But still, you kind of relax and trust and do what you do, but with a good feeling, with a feeling of like you're going like a surfer goes on the wave. It looks crazy. The wave is huge, but surfers like ride the raid. So it was kind of like this feeling. And I was able to return part of my business. So this is, I think, because of changing of attitude. So this is the biggest miracle. But other miracles related, they kind of have the same basis to it.
Okay. Thank you. And then you brought up something that leads to another question because you said I like my physical body most of the time. Well, what do you do when you don't like yourself? So that's a question I would like to ask people. A lot of times people don't like how they look or they don't like something they did and they start talking so badly about themselves. I'm like, why are you talking badly about yourself? You know, things happen. Like your best friend wouldn't say that about you. So like, what do you do when nice glass? I got that for you.
Six of them.
Yes, except so just share how do you handle when you don't like yourself, when you don't like yourself, how do you love yourself? Or how can you
Okay.
suggest people do it if you have any, advice?
No, okay, this is something I use maybe like a salvation, mental salvation. I read, well, actually, so the video was yoga face yoga. And I think it should work, it must work. I just never remember about it and never have time for it and don't do it, basically. But in the
It's not
morning,
yoga face, it's face yoga.
face yoga. When I look
What's
myself,
up, yoga face?
face yoga. Okay, but kind of the same thing, maybe not. But anyway, look at myself in the mirror in the morning, and I see something a little puffy, something a little bit not the way I want it to be. And so I think, okay, it is a solution. It is a solution. I'll do it right now. And I start doing it. And I do it, and it kind of like makes me feel better. Like I do something. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But mentally, it helps. It feels like it is not doomed. Like it is a, light at the end of the tunnel. At least some people claim they had results. So another thing with the weight, maybe if I see something different from what I expect or want to see on a scale, then I kind of lose confidence sometimes. I don't run to the gym. I may eat something that I shouldn't be eating. Bah, doesn't work anyway. But I work on it. I work on it. It's not good. I should go to the gym as fast as I do, other things. Face yoga
Face yoga.
face.
No, face yoga.
Face yoga. Okay.
It's okay.
Sorry for my accent.
No, it's okay. It's it's a work in progress, but how do you not hate yourself? How do you not go like how do you not go into down spiral? Like how do you bring yourself up besides the face yoga?
No, listen, when you have somebody you love, like a child, right? And child misbehaves or does something, you may straighten them out, but you still love them, right? You still love them. You still want them to succeed, right? You want them to be their best, even though you are maybe not happy with them at the moment with something they did. Kind of like this. I still think it is like the soul in me and, all of this. And I get in touch with it. Meditate. I meditate. I meditate. And meditation, you actually access some realm, and you see it's only love there. If it is love for everything and anything, you
Realm.
can realm. What did
Realm.
I say? Realm.
Realm. You said realm, it's realm. I know we're
Okay.
talking about that because we both have the accent sometimes, and sometimes I don't say the words
Yeah.
correctly either.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess meditation helps.
So if
And you
meditation.
start. So
Okay.
you love yourself, but you scold yourself. No, like tomorrow you go to the
And you still
gym.
don't go.
Period. No, I mean,
Mother, when was the last time you went to the gym?
no, you know what? I have power plate in my
I
bathroom.
know you do.
And when I
Who
brush
got it
my
for you?
teeth,
Who got it for you?
no, this one I bought,
I know,
the other
but
one.
I
It,
introduced you to it.
it, yes. And I have two weights, and I brush my teeth, I do what I do, and I also do weights lifting.
That's good. That's good.
They are
That's
small.
good.
I do. I do. I do. At least this I do. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm not as bad.
Okay. And then the third question we ask is, and I feel like I should know the answer because I feel like you said the same thing for both miracle and for how you love yourself, is if you were in charge of this country, what would you do on the day one? I feel
On the
like you should
day
make
one.
everybody meditate because that's how you get the miracle and how you love yourself.
That's true, but these people have to come. You can do it mandatory because even though you can introduce in schools, like Alina's sister said in Europe, they do. She said,
Well, my school, when I went to Quaker school, we meditated twice a
no,
week.
but
We didn't know it
it's
was
Quaker,
meditation, but yeah, Quaker school.
right? But it is something that I do mandatory. Why things happened in Russia? Why they went the way they did? Because people didn't know what democracy is about, what it is, how important it is to protect it. And they think, like in America, the same thing, people don't know. And a lot comes from immigrants. Like I noticed a lot of Russian immigrants, Chinese, Cubans, people from communist countries, they were easily persuaded to vote certain ways. So they don't see a problem with a strong hand, like they say, authoritarian regime. They don't. And I would probably, before anyone gets citizenship, I would make them have at least, I don't know, 100 hours maybe of schooling about democracy, about separation of power, about importance of free press, about just conscience of the history of US. We succeeded here as a country here only because of democracy. And now it is all, actually, country succeeded because of immigrants, but now in a big time, I think a lot of them ruin this country and because they are not prepared for democracy. They don't see, I'm talking mostly about Chinese or Russian or people from those countries, Cubans in Florida, because they don't know what it is and they don't see much value in it. They want the you can buy anything in stores, this kind of prosperity. But what it's based on in a fair competition in politics in the first place and democracy. So I would make them go through serious classes and learn and have tests and the whole, process of it. And the same in schools. I think here they study a little bit, but we took it for granted here. We take it for granted. It's taken like it's supposed to be like this. It is not. And I could, I talked to somebody recently who didn't believe much in democracy. And now they say it's republic. It's not democracy. It's democratic republic. It's just absurd, but not even to recognize it. But like compare North Korea and South Korea, right? The same people. What is the difference? Only one difference. Democracy in South Korea made them prosperous country and starving people in North Korea. And it's all based on economies, based on political arrangements too. Without democracy, we'll go too far. So if I were president, it's what I would do in the first place. Make people really seriously learn about it. I have tests and immigrants and here in schools and just everywhere, a lot. Because otherwise we take it for granted and we lose it. This is my fear.
Yeah, thank you. Hope, do you have any questions?
I do. I do. I love what you said, and I am so impressed by your courage. I wanted, what do you see coming, right? So we're recording on October 17th, 2025. A lot of change. There's a big parade tomorrow across the country, around the world, the No Kings Parade. People pushing back. I'm here in DC, so I'm seeing a lot of this firsthand, what's evolving, the tons of job cuts and people just, kind of going nuts, not knowing what's happening. But that's contrasted with a lot of people just, going about their business because maybe they don't know what else to do, how to, maybe they agree with what's happening, which I find horrifying and impossible to understand. But I would love to hear what your forecasting, what you're seeing as possible play out, fallout of what's happening here in 2025.
Okay, I would come to the same thing what I said before. Like in April, I think April 14th, my fiancé Mark and I went to Washington actually to protest near Monument. And maybe it was 1,000 people, maybe a couple thousand. It was right after people in Washington lost jobs. A lot of people, I don't remember how many, 10,000, whatever. It was when Musk was cutting jobs in government. And where were all these people? Why they didn't come? I was so surprised and it made me worried. I think people don't understand the importance of what's happening now.
Yeah.
And so yes, No King Parade, we are going twice actually tomorrow. It is in one very red city, not far. Protesters, we go there at 11. And in my town, it is at 6. So we'll do two in the same day. But what will happen? Honestly, it all depends on people's power. On people's power and re realization that it will be worse. You cannot run and hide far enough. Okay, in a way, I ran here for freedom. And what's now? Where else? Europe. In Europe also is not very pretty these days. In Czech Republic, in Czechoslovakia, no, Czech Republic now, also want somebody who supports Putin. And where else to go? Mars? I don't know if Musk has exit to
Yeah.
Mars. I don't think it will be vastly available. So it all depends on people. Actually, on us, maybe it's you on you because you have this podcast and how many people you'll be able to reach out, how many people will start thinking and doing something. Because you have to do something, not just survive, do something.
Yeah. And what concerns me is that we're generations of,
We haven't lived through this before. 100 years ago, right? It was the Great Depression. My kids are in their 20s. My daughter just turned 30. My son's 26. And I talk to them and their friends, and they're like, "We don't want to talk about it, Mom. It's fine." And then they kind of like just play games or whatever. And they're smart, they're wise kids. They don't want to be stressed. They don't want me to kind of like shake the cage and say, "This is a problem. You guys need to pay attention. Come on, we need to do something," right? So that concerns me profoundly. And just this ability to stay sane and meditate in this chaos. Because I think if you're looking forward, it's really hard to not be petrified, right? And
Yeah,
so
this meditation is salvation.
you
This is for
meditate.
sure. But
I
you mentioned. Oh, sorry, I'm interrupting.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
But what you mentioned, your kids. It's exactly when you said, if I were president, what I would do, right? For immigrants, education about democracy, and also in schools here, like really seriously address this, because it's like in medical school, they learn symptoms. For example, if patient has fever like this, and symptoms like this, and seizures like this, whatever, then probably this patient has to be rushed to the emergency room and put on a life support, or it will be too late. The same thing I feel about our democracy, our republic, our democratic republic, like I speak now, because people don't somehow relate to, and but people think, oh, it's okay, it shouldn't bother me, it shouldn't, but they should understand it is like life-threatening symptoms
Well, it
of the
is even
country.
like what is happening in Pentagon, where people walked out because they didn't want to sign the whatever releases that they were asked to, and do not have free speech, and to even have that in America, press will be required to do such a thing. Like, that's a symptom, that's a symptom,
It's a
and
big time
it's a big
symptom.
time symptom, and so that should wake people up who want to go to the protest. And somebody in Europe said, "What the problem with American protests is that we plan it for one day and then we go home." Like in Europe, they start the protest and they don't go home until it's resolved. Like in Ukraine, even when they had that Magadan, when they had like it, they stayed there for days and days until something
Maidan.
happened. Maidan, 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 Magadan, Maidan. So I feel like, I don't know how we're doing this, if we're doing it correctly, but
But he's preparing. Look,
he's
it is
preparing.
military in democratic cities. Pretty soon it will be in more places. It
Yeah,
feels
and
like almost too late, but we still have to do something, because when it is too late,
well, I
it is
feel
too
like some
late. We don't want
people's.
to wake up in North Korea, basically. We don't. Or in Putin's Russia.
Right, exactly. But my challenge is that people think, well, you know what? It's fine. It's in the democratic cities. I'm not a Democrat. I'll be fine. Farmers thought they were fine, and they're effed right now. And maybe they'll be bailed out, but with taxpayer money, and then the other taxpayers have to pay more money and pay more for health insurance, and then they won't have money to buy stuff from the farmers. Like, it's all gonna affect everybody, because as much as Trump wants to say America first, we are gonna be part of the global society
Not
regardless.
possible. We're on the
Yeah,
same planet.
we're on the same planet, exactly. And we can't say, "Oh, well, there's no climate change." And then Alaska just got flooded. So many people are missing still, I believe, and they don't even have FEMA. Like, those people voted red, and look what they got, and nobody cares about them. So,
And in Texas, it was flood on July 4th in Texas,
te
and people were
Texas,
not
Texas,
warned.
not not Texas, Texas.
Okay. Texas. And people are not warned, because I guess because of many people
Yes.
in the climate, whatever prediction centers were fired.
Exactly. Yeah, and so it's gonna affect everybody. It's just right now we just have to go out. And I'll read this really quickly. I posted it in my social media. I thought it was such a great thing that said, everyone who is afraid to join No Kings or other protests need to understand this. You are afraid of the wrong thing. You should be afraid of what will happen if we all stay home.
Yes, 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 yes.
So it's up to us right now. And Hope and I started this podcast after, like, shortly after the elections last year. We survived for 11 months. I mean, he wasn't in power until January, so it's been like 10 months, but I don't know. It's been pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But in the several months, he achieved more than Putin
Well, that's because he
in
already,
decades.
Putin had the Hitler playbook. And then Trump was like, oh, I can use that and that and that. I can do this playbook. So he's using them. And with social media, in a way, we say, oh, we're so much more informed because back in the 40s, you didn't have social media. So people didn't even know about certain things that were happening. Even I listened to a German guy. He said his parents lived in part of Germany where they didn't have Jews. Like they lived in the little village. They did not know what was happening. They did not know about a Holocaust. They did not know about Jews being taken away, but ghettos in their village. They were all Nazis because it was the government in Germany, but they did not actually know what was happening. So they couldn't protest anything because it didn't concern them. But now we have social media. So you would think, well, everybody should know, everybody should protest. But I think with social media, people are so stressed out. And it is part of the plan to get people so stressed out that they don't want to know, like what you said, Hope, about your kids, because it's exhausting of what's happening. And then, rule number one of the Nazi Germany was to come up with a enemy. Back then it was the Jews, now the enemy is the Democrats, the enemy is the immigrants and everything. So people just get so stressed out with all of that.
I would like to give a little example. I was just telling Mark today about my aunt. I remember my father was not really thrilled when they would come to visit. And I was little, I don't know, 12 years old, 10 years old. And I remember she was speaking up. She was speaking up. She didn't like what's happening. She didn't like suppression. She knows freedom of speech, of course. Forget it. It's not even. It couldn't be even called like this there. You couldn't even whisper freedom of whisper. I would say even in the circle of the family, she would say something, and my father would be terrified. I remember his face. He was probably thinking, "What if I go to school and tell, oh, my aunt says this or says that? He would lose his job, and I
And
never would be."
that's after Stalin, just for
After
context.
Stalin, yes,
But
it
yeah, it
was
was
in
even
sixties, and probably I would never be able to get in college, or and live in fear. It was a like oh, I remember when I was 9 years old, and my father took me to election. They called election. So it has one person, and you just confirm. Like you vote for this person, one out of one, and put the ballot. But they had booths and pencils. You can get a pencil, go to the booth, cross whatever. And I said, "Dad, what do we vote? Whom do we vote for?" He said, "No, for the best out of the best. They already pre-elected for us, and now it's the best people." I said, "But I don't know them. I think you are the best. Can I vote for you? Can I vote for you?" He said, "No, it's pre-election because he's supposed to say what he's supposed to say. Otherwise, you may be not in jail, not in Siberia like in Stalin's time. You shoot you, but at least lose your job for sure." So we came to this place, to the post voting booth, voting. What do you call it? Voting anyway, place, and. He got the ballot. The woman checked the dress and marked that he got the ballot. And I said, "Okay, great, let's go to the booth, close the curtain, let's go there." I remember his face. He was terrified. He was terrified. He said, "Oh no, we don't, we don't." I said, "Why? You said we go to the booth." I can't forget him. I was 9 years old. I couldn't forget his face. Do people really want to live like this?
No, we don't want to live like this. But no one has
No,
this in
it's
their.
coming.
Oh,
It's coming. It's already
it's here.
here. Like in the government offices, like in Project 2025, they're supposed to hire only loyal to the authority, like in mafia, Godfather, loyal to Godfather, employees. And you have, despicable. It's despicable.
But I think we live in a society where people have such short memories and they want immediate instant gratification. And there's also confirmation bias. Like, I mean, I have it. I will only pay attention to the things that make sense to me, but it's also experience and intuition, right? I'm looking at the whole landscape. I tell Alina this all the time. I read dozens of articles a day and post them on LinkedIn on my page because I want a chronicle of what has happened since for in the last year, right? It's amazing that we've been doing this for almost a year and already so many changes, so many horrifying things. And we're trying to have this girlfriend's conversation just so that other people who listen in realize that they're not alone and we want them to join in on the fight. And, you know, that's why we opened it up in season two to interview more people so that we can all be part of this together. And my feeling is that if we can keep bringing amazing women together, that then we will have some kind of resistance, some kind of underground railroad that we can depend on and count on come what may. And you know, the other thing is that I'm looking to other scholars and educated people to guide us. So I just put a new show is coming onto the Incandescent Radio Network starting in November with Reverend Robert Flanagan, who is a leader at the seminary here in Virginia. And he's going to talk about courage to thrive and what that looks like. And I was sitting with him on the bench at the seminary yesterday when we were talking about the show. And I said, "How do you feel about what's happening?" He said, "I just have faith." And, you know, that's what you would assume that someone who has, you know, generate decades of experience in the seminary would say. But I felt like, you know, that's actually what you just said. You have to have faith, that meditation, that deep belief that, you know, but we also have to
Yes, but
resist.
take action. We have to take action. Yeah, we have to take
Yes,
action.
just rely on something you can relax and trust in and do your best. Definitely do your best. You know, I also wanted to add, I had a huge company back in Russia. As soon as Gorbachev allowed it, free enterprise, we started right away. And it was very successful. It was a manufacturing, actually, fashion company, clothing. It's what we started with. Won a
Clothing.
group. Clothing, which is
Is it closing? Like close of clothes. Clothing.
I was eventually we built factories, won a grant, and it was great. And when Putin started to come to power, he hated. I personally had a huge animosity with him because when you have your company, you have your business, you feel free. You just do what your customers want. When you know, consumers want you to produce. I did marketing. I did. You know, and that's it. And I felt like a free person for a while, that he can dictate me what to do, how to do, and I don't care about you either. But he hated freedom. He hated free business people. I would say now, looking back, especially women in business, I particularly fought with him personally. And it's what dictators do. They don't want anyone who is not suppressed. So even business people who think it wouldn't touch them, they should look at how these people lined up for inauguration and to donate money to Trump and do what he wants and Facebook and I mean, you name them. And Google and I mean, everybody, almost. Big businesses were second up to him too because they're not free anymore.
But these leaders fall, not Putin yet, but Stalin did, you know, Hitler did, all these regimes, right? So keep talking, but tell us what we have to look forward to, not necessarily the bad stuff, because you know, one of my other friends who I'm doing a cultural salon with here in Washington, D.C., Ala Rogers, her husband was a very big journalist and author, and she is an artist and art gallery owner, and she said, just watch. You will be surprised that one day something will happen and it will turn. So tell.
You know, Alina and I kind of look seriously at astrology. Astrologically, it's supposed to turn
Suppose
around.
to turn, suppose to
Supposed
turn.
to keep our fingers crossed. Supposed to turn around. So, but I still believe without our help and everyone else's participation, I don't know when. So I believe conscience will change. People should, and you do your beautiful part in it. So it should change. People should wake up, should become aware what's happening and stop him, especially people in DC, people there. I mean, this storm, he flamed out these people, like, you know, there were some really good Republicans there in his first term. Now he made sure not so much, but somebody, somewhere, somehow will spread this, you know, feel of being alarmed, being conscious, necessity to act and do something. And maybe it will wake up people. I certainly hope it will.
But that's why it's in Russian. There is a saying, "Trust in God, but don't."
Rely on God, but do your part,
Yeah,
basically.
kind of. Yeah, exactly. So, that's I think that's the main point, right? To do things and to meditate, to surrender, to trust. I keep saying and I keep reminding myself, the best guarantee to be happy later is to be happy now. So I posted yesterday about going to the protest with love and bringing the lover archetype, not the hero, not the rebel, but because people think protest, but bringing the lover. And imagine like if just hot girls were protesting, like who would, like how do you put it in media, like ICE trying to shoot hot girls, like it just, I hate to say it, but people like beautiful people. And I'm not saying conventional beauty only, I'm saying when you make yourself feel beautiful however it is, and you really make sure that people see your beauty inside, outside, because when people don't know who you are inside, all they can see is the outside part. And if other people are communicating in their language, it's only about the appearance, you want to speak their language so they understand you. So I invite everybody just dress up, not ball gown or anything, but dress up in this movement to make a world a better place that's about peace and love. So let's keep doing that, and we have to wrap up. But I'm inspired. I pray that everything's gonna be good, and we are gonna go to the to where we can go on Saturday, to our local protests, and protest with love and peace, and keep praying for that. Astrologically, it should turn. So, yeah.
Yeah, we
Well,
just can help it, only hope and help it as much as we can.
yeah,
Yes, we're going to
exactly.
raise our glass. I have my
Yeah,
yoga.
I drank already mine, but
I love it. Cheers, beautiful ladies.
cheers.
Elena,
Thank
thank
you for
you
having
so
me.
much. Thank you, Alina. Thank you all for listening and watching and reading the questions bar here on Incandescent Radio, Incandescent TV, Spotify, Apple, and iHeartRadio too. We're all out there on the podcast world. And follow Alina, life stylist Alina. She's amazing. Those are her books behind her. This is her magnificent mom. This is my book, PR Rules, the Playbook, teaching you all to do PR marketing, social media strategy, all that holistic stuff. Woo, I love it. Fireworks. All right, we'll see you next week. Thank you. Thank you, beautiful lady.
Thank you.
We'll see you all soon.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.
The best to everybody.
Yes.